Welcome back to another audio guide through 1 Corinthians. Chase Acuna here again, and today we jump into chapter 14. Do you remember the first day back to school after Christmas? Of course, the first question everyone had was, what did you get for Christmas? We wanted to compare presents and make sure people knew that we thought we had the most incredible gift, even if we knew someone else got a much bigger or greater present that we kind of like better. Well, today on Through the Word, we continue our journey through the spiritual gifts with the final chapter comparing two particular gifts, tongues and prophecy. Remember, the purpose of every spiritual gift is to build up the church, and each gift should be used to help others know God better and bring glory to the King of Kings, not ourselves. So let's jump into the chapter. Verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. So tongues are a gift that is used to communicate with God. They're actually a language that the speakers usually don't understand. Still, it is a way for a person's spirit to commune with God. So tongues are directed toward God, but prophecy is directed toward man. So prophecy can strengthen, encourage, and comfort. But when tongues are spoken without an interpreter present, the only person that grows closer to God is the speaker. But if someone speaks a word of prophecy directly from the Lord, then all the hearers can be built up. Verse 6, now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you? Unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction. Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as a pipe or a harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there's a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You'll just be speaking into the air. So musical instruments use particular pitches, notes, and beats to communicate a song. And even though all kids love trying to play musical instruments, without training, a kid with a guitar actually sounds more like a kid with a drum set, or maybe like wounded dogs howling. And even for the most gracious of us, it definitely sounds more like noises and clashing sounds more than anything else. To an outsider, walking into a church service, it can be the same with tongues. They are no profit to others if they aren't accompanied by clear words. Verse 12, so it is with you. Since you're eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. Again, Paul reminds the church that the gifts are supposed to be used to build up the church, not ultimately just for one's own benefit. When the church gathers together, everyone should walk away closer to God. And so when we have this view and are all using our gifts to serve one another, that's when the church is actually at its healthiest and functioning like it was meant to. This is why Paul encourages those who speak in tongues to pray for the interpretation so that the body of Christ might be built up. That way, the uncertain sound of tongues can actually make sense to the body. Verse 21, in the law it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, will they not say you are out of your mind? This is one of the two challenging sections in this chapter. Paul says that tongues are a sign for unbelievers. Then he states that if unbelievers come into the church and hear tongues, they'll assume that we're out of our minds. So how can this be? Well, Paul's argument is based on the verse he quotes from Isaiah 28. In that passage, the people of Israel who did not want to listen to the clear voice of God would end up listening to the unintelligible foreign tongue of the Assyrians. In that specific case, the unknown languages were a sign of judgment, a sign that they had not been obedient to God. So what Paul is saying in our passage is, when a person comes into a church and hears tongues without interpretation, they remain in a state of unbelief. Verse 24, but if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they're convicted of sin and brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they'll fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So for an unbelieving visitor, prophecy can lead to conviction, which can lead to confession and repentance. So since uninterpreted tongues can serve as such a sign of judgment for unbelievers and a barrier to faith for them, then Christian communities should not have such a sign marking them. Paul then gives the church direction on using the gifts in an orderly fashion to build up the church. Let people sing songs and hymns to each other. Let two or three people share a tongue, but only if there's an interpretation. Two or three people can share a message from God, but each in turn. There is to be order in the churches, as it says in verse 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. If everyone is speaking at once, there's no order, and therefore, no one can be built up. So many years ago, I was a worship leader. And one practical thing that I learned in playing music is, though a person could be a great singer, great guitar player, or drummer on their own, if they're playing in different keys, different songs, or different rhythms, then it just doesn't work. Why? Because what makes music sound good is when each of these musicians and instruments are doing their part together for the same shared purpose. In other words, when there's order to what's going on. And the cool thing that happens is it often becomes so much better than what any of those individual musicians could have done alone. Now we come to the second difficult passage in the chapter. Verse 34, women should remain silent in the churches. They're not allowed to speak, but must be in submission as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. So what's going on here? Well, based on the context of the passage and the entire book, Paul is not saying that women are not allowed to speak in the church. Remember, in chapter 11, Paul already assumed the right of women to pray and prophesy publicly in the church. But based on the context in this chapter, such as verse 29, where it mentions judging what is spoken, Paul is most likely saying that women were not to be the judges of the truth of the messages from the prophets, which was the role of the elders of the church. Again, the focus here is on order in the church services. There are a variety of interpretations of this passage, but this one to me makes the most sense given the context. When Paul says that it is shameful for a woman to speak in church, the word used can also mean to question, argue, or chatter. It is not all speech that is limited, but rather speech that divides and distracts. Again, the focus is on order and building each other up. Verse 39. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. That's it today for our guide. Read 1 Corinthians 14 on your own and join us tomorrow as we enter into one of the greatest chapters on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word.